You're listening to
Sci-Fi News.
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Digs Show 346. We have been on a very, very long hiatus. Real life kind of jumps in there and takes place, and you find out there's not enough hours in the day to do all the things that you want to get done. And part of that, not only does that include podcasting, but part of that just watching and dealing with science fiction and all that fun stuff in general. You know, just busy with work, busy trying to get somewhat daily runs in and things like that. So it was actually my co-host's idea to do a podcast today. We've been compiling a list slowly, and so we decided we were going to try to record a show today, and when the day was over, we didn't think we were going to have time, and she's the one who brought it up. So hello, co-host.
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Rhiannon.
And what are we going to talk about today?
Let's see. We've both read Fangirl.
Let's stick with that and see how long the show goes with that. And then we'll touch on some of the things you've been doing science fiction wise. But let's talk a little bit about the book Fangirl. Rhiannon and I were both at Barnes & Noble bookstore. It's been months and months ago. And during that time, she was looking around and I was looking around. I'd be the first person to admit that I'm about 80% digital when it comes to books, especially comics. I mean, everything I read, I read digitally now. I got back on the comic book boat for about 3 or 4 months getting the paper issues because it was cheaper. It's cheaper for me to buy them from a discounted place than it is for me to buy them digitally. And as much as I enjoyed it, it just got to the point where I have my iPad with me everywhere I go. You know, if I know I'm going to go somewhere for a while, I can just grab it. I know I have, you know, several hundred comics on there, and I can just kind of choose. So I wasn't a real big bookstore guy. You know, I've been reading some digital stuff, and I have plenty to read here. And so she was going, she goes about once every 3 months and buys a bunch of books and then gets a nice pile and brings them home and slowly makes her way through them. But you know, through my daughter, I've been able to examine a lot of the young adult fiction, you know, the science fiction and stuff. And I have to say that to me, most of the fresh ideas are coming through the young adult science fiction. I mean, it may not be some people nitpick about writing style or whatever. I don't care. Just tell me a good story. I don't care if it's, you know, supposedly good or bad, the way they put their prose together. I could care less. I just wanted to tell a good story, you know. And so I always examine, you know, what she's buying because maybe there's something I want to read, you know. And through that, we've both read a couple of books because we have been, you know, because she finds something that's good and then I'm like, oh, this sounds pretty good. So then we both read it. But anyway, so as she was perusing the stacks, I was looking around and there was a big display that said Fangirl. And I thought, well, that sounds like something that might be interesting because it's called Fangirl after all, you know. And being a fanboy, I thought, well, maybe this might be interesting. So I read the back and it sounded, you know, basically it was, it sounded like something that I might be interested
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but you see, for me, I don't know, the back kind of threw me off. Like, I was interested, but like sometimes when I go into the bookstore, I'm just looking for something specific. Like, not specific, but like sometimes I go in there and I'm aiming for like my cheesy novels, like some Sarah Dessen, which is good, but like just some love stories or some John Green, and I wasn't, or some, like, I think that day I went in there looking for some like science fiction-y stuff, and that was just on the side. And then I didn't really even think about it again until my dad was like, hey, I bought that audiobook, and I had been working out listening to The Mortal Instruments, which is great and all, but I have read the whole series now, the whole series since the sixth one came out, and listened to the audiobook once already, so I was so bored. And I started listening to Fangirl, and it just all went better from there. It was, yeah, it's really good.
So this is a brief description from the publisher, and I'm just going to read it to you, and then we'll tell you a little bit about the book, trying to be as spoiler-free as possible. And let me preface all of this by saying that I'm a middle-aged white guy. There's no way this book should even have been in my peripheral vision, let alone, you know, something that I kind of zoned in on. And I ended up, I mean, I just love this book. I give it 5 out of 5. I mean, I really love the characters. It really grabbed me. But anyway, In Rainbow Rouse Fangirl, Kath is a Simon Snow fan. Okay, the whole world is a Simon Snow fan, but for Kath, being a fan is her life, and she's really good at it. She and her twin sister, Ren, ensconced themselves in the Simon Snow series when they were just kids. It's what got them through their mother leaving. Reading, rereading, hanging out in Simon Snow forums, writing Simon Snow fanfics, and dressing up like the characters for every movie premiere. Kath's sister has mostly grown away from fandom, but Kath can't let go. She doesn't want to. Now that they're going to college, Ren has told Kath she doesn't want to be her roommate. Kath is on her own, completely outside of her comfort zone. She's got a surly roommate with a charming, always-around boyfriend, a fiction-writing professor who thinks fan fiction is the end of the civilized world, a handsome classmate who only wants to talk about words, and she can't stop worrying about her dad, who's loving and fragile and has never really been alone. For Kath, the question is, can she do this? Can she make it without Ren holding her hand? Is she ready to start living her own life, writing her own stories? And does she even want to move on if it means leaving Simon Snow behind? Now
if that was what was on the back of that book, I would have bought that in a heartbeat.
Right. Well, I mean, it was kind of like that, but a little bit. It was much more basic than that. Basically, Simon Snow, think Harry Potter. That's exactly kind what of, it yeah. is. You know, and so basically, she's just a fangirl who loves this, who writes fan fiction and is real involved in everything.
Yeah, so like what her thing is like the last book is yet to come out, and she writes this, her big thing like throughout this book is she's writing this fiction called Carry On Simon, right?
Right.
And like all these people are telling her like that's pretty much like the last book for them. Like they sometimes forget like with her fan fiction, there's still another book to even come out.
Yeah, there's
like,
she has so thousands long, and like, thousands of followers. And writes. Yeah. And so she's going through this period where she has the pressure of trying to finish this story before the next book, for the last, you know, the final book comes out. And also the fact that her sister and her are going separate ways, you know, basically.
Her sister used to be like her writing buddy. Like,
right.
What was it like?
Like she would help punch up the dialogue and things like that. And they would come up with the ideas together and you know,
and
work
it was
through
like,
everything.
Some of the stories were just by whatever, like, what was her name? Was it like,
I can't remember,
was it
her
Magic
name.
Kath, maybe?
Maybe Magic
and that,
Kath.
And then, like, and some of them would just have her, but a lot of her, like, earlier stories, her and Ren had written together.
Right. And now, you know, Ren, she has been kind of there. I mean, Kath obviously has some issues. I mean, she has some psychological issues as far as, like, she's a little OCD,
And a lot of this started because when the girls were little, their mother left.
Right.
And so they grew up with their dad, who's been not...
Don't spoil anything.
Okay.
Don't spoil anything. Just say that her dad, who has raised them by himself, you know, but, you know, they have some interaction later on in the book that I don't want to spoil, or because she does a very good job of just kind of surprising you with, you know, some of the developments that come to be. But, you know, obviously what intrigued me most about it was when I saw it, I thought it was going to be more comedic about the fangirls and the fans and her interaction like on forums and things like that. I thought it was going to be kind of like a I don't want to say a parody, but kind of like that, of like how, you know, fanboys and fangirls are about certain topics, you know, like the Mortimer Instruments, you know, Doctor Who, things like
that.
Yeah,
because, you know, we had to keep in mind Rainbow Rowell has written other books, but we had never read any of them, so we didn't know what to expect. I had owned one of her other books, but I had yet to get around to reading it.
Yes,
so.
Which we realized after I had read two of her books, and then I said, well, I never read the one she's really known for, Eleanor and Park.
And
Rand's
I was
like,
oh, that's sitting in my room.
I think I have that.
It's in my pile, like, because I went to Barnes & Noble, and I had got that one shipped from Amazon, and I'd bought, like, 10 books, and I was still working my way through them, and I was like, that's in my pile. So, actually, I read that one two nights ago?
Two
I read it in,
ago,
like,
yeah.
3 hours. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, I haven't read that. Fangirl, like I said, that was going to be more of a parody. I didn't realize it was going to be as serious as it was, but... As we got into it, the characters just took on, I mean, they really did take on a life of their own, and that's what sold me. The story isn't something that's original, but the characters were very real, and you know, you could sympathize and empathize with things they were going through and things like that.
I think that it's important, like, the Mortal Instruments is one of my examples. I love the Mortal Instruments, but there are so many characters that at one point I was having trouble keeping them all straight.
Right.
Like, she introduced, like, all these characters that weren't major characters, then kept getting bigger, and then I'd be like, wait, who's who? But in that book, there was really just, like, she didn't add a lot of extra characters you didn't need to know in. There was just, she really developed all the main characters.
Right, and she did a really good job, and I actually, and like I said, I finished it, Well, I knew I wasn't going to have time to read the paper book. So I went ahead and I bought the audiobook through, because I use Audible, and I could not stop doing, I had trouble taking my earbuds out. I mean, I just wanted to keep on listening and listening and listening to until it was over. And then I was actually going to get you an autographed copy for your birthday, but the problem with that is, although I found a place that sells the autographed copies, actually Rainbow Rowell herself, I messaged her on Twitter and she told me where to go. To get those in his online store. But the thing is, shipping was as much as the book just about. So I said, well, I'm not going to do that because I wasn't sure if you were going to like it. So I just bought you, I bought Rhianna a regular copy for her birthday. And I told her the audiobook that was on the Audible account so she can access
it. I was already about halfway finished when he bought me the paperback. And I'm not going to lie, I have barely touched the paper version because I was using Fangirl as my escape from when I was running at the gym.
Right.
Because it's so much better. Like, I'm not into, I've always loved reading. So for me, when I go to the gym, like, an audiobook is like the nice thing that I get to look forward to at the end when I have to do my cardio.
It
was a really good reader. Yeah. So is the other Rainbow Rowell book, which I have yet to finish, my dad has on Audible, is Attachments by Rainbow Rowell.
Attachments included, I think.
I don't think it's included because that's not what my Audible account says.
Okay, well, excuse me, it's Attachments. Anyway, I tweeted that that I really love the book, and I mean, it just really, really made a mark in my brain of something that was fun to read and had a good story, and anybody, I think, would enjoy it. And Rainbow Rowell retweeted it, so I was pretty happy about that. And then I was looking to see what else she had, and she had Eleanor and Park, which I wasn't sure would be up my alley. But
no, I don't think it would as much, yeah. I have to say.
I find myself like putting like a whole bunch of science fiction and then one or two books that aren't like sci-fi related. So when
they're
I get
a nice
kind of,
break.
Yeah, when I need a little bit of a break.
Like, I like my John Green books or my Rainbow Rowell is my break. But I just want to take a second to say that my father uses Twitter and I don't. I think it might be sad.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter very much.
I had my Twitter, but I was like, this is not fun. But maybe it would be.
But the I also bought the Attachments book, and it's basically about a guy
good
whose
reader.
Job is about going through corporate email and making sure that people his job is to read it and to make sure
they're not doing bad things.
And he ends up being fascinated by these two women. Their conversation ends up getting
caught up.
Keeps
getting tagged because they're like saying words they shouldn't be.
Yeah,
and he should message them, give them their warning, and then the next time they'll be in trouble. But he never does. He just follows their messages through their life. Well, not like their life. Like it doesn't go on that long. But he learns a lot about their personal life because their personal emails that they are sending at work, even though they shouldn't be.
Right. He ends up the thing about the book is that the story is that he ends up developing feelings for the woman without ever seeing her. Because of who she is on the inside, which is really good. But you can tell, like I can tell by reading those two books that it's a really interesting genre. It's not, you know, I think that people would think it was young adult, but I think that, I mean, maybe it would be. But the thing is I think young adult now is much more than when it was when I was younger. I mean, there is so many more.
I feel like as I've grown up, it's developed a lot.
Yeah, and I think it has some of the best science fiction in there. And like when we go. And we go to the bookstore. The first thing there's usually a table in the middle that has
like the new like popular stuff, and that's the first place to hit up.
Yeah, and 80% of it's young adult, and it's of that probably 60 or 70% of what's there is science fiction based, or you know that sort of thing. And I usually go and I make a list and I list them, and then I ask random, hey, have you read this? Does this sound good? And then from there, you know, I wait till anymore. I just wait for it to come on Audible. Like I said, I mean, I love reading as much as the next person, but there's not enough hours in the day. So if I can listen to a book while I'm running, that's the way. And the thing is, like with Audible, I can kill a book in a week. You give me like a 17 to 20 hour book. I mean, you know, I listen on it like 1.5x to 2x, and I run for an hour and a half, 5 days a week. And between that and work, I can kill a book in a week, no problem.
See, I like to try to save. I don't run as much as my dad because he's, like, skinny and physically fit and all that stuff. But I still do, and I find myself like, oh, I'll walk a little longer so I can listen a little longer. And then it's gotten to the point where it's, like, towards the end of my book, I, like, want to listen to it all the time, like, when I'm at home, when I'm getting ready for school. Well, school's out now, when I was. But then it's at the same time, I'm like, I better not. I better save this for running or else I'll be bored. Because, like, when it's over right now, I don't have anything else to listen to yet.
Right. Now, I have to say, I want to say that the book just came out in September of 2013 was the release date, so it's still fairly new, but I'm sure you can find it anywhere. But it was one of those books that really grabbed me and moved me. Like I said, I mean, and it's not something that, that should appeal to my age at all. It's, you know, but I was intrigued by it, and then it had the science fiction kind of slant that, that drug me in, but at the end of it, it was... it wasn't science fiction at all.
No, I mean, and it wasn't even, like, a, just oh, I hit my microphone, sorry. It wasn't even just a love story, either. Like, there was all sorts of, it was just, like, life.
Yeah, it's life. It's just life. It's kind of like a slice of life in this girl's life and how she's handling problems that come to her that, that you know, she thinks is insurmountable, but to somebody who doesn't have the psychological problems she has, it's not a big deal. But I liked her, and I love the dialogue. Yes. I love the characters, like her roommates.
I loved her roommate. Her roommate was one of my favorite characters. She wasn't super, super important, but she was really funny, I found.
Yeah. And they were just so very different, and but you know, finding common ground and the way everything developed. It was just a really, just really grabbed me, and I just loved the heck out of it. I would find myself running and then being like, well, I can go ahead and do like a 2-mile walk cool down because then I could listen that much longer. Yeah. So I would just keep going and going,
like,
you know?
The thing is, Rainbow Rowell writes very interesting characters. Like, her characters aren't just like normal, like skinny, pretty people. Like,
yeah.
Like, this girl had like a little bit of an issue, like psychologically. Her sister was a pretty girl, though. And then, you know, you have her roommate who's a little bit strange. Then in Attachment, you have, what's the name? Lincoln, who is like not old. Well, he's older. He's like in his late 20s. Yeah. And like, you know, he's not living a super normal life. He doesn't really have a girlfriend or anything. Like, they even say like he's heavier set and he's like giant.
Yeah.
And Eleanor and Park, Eleanor was like, everybody made fun of her from the very beginning. Like, she wore weird clothes. Eleanor had an awful home life. Like, it was, that was a really, I don't know, that book was completely different than Fangirl and Attachments. It was very just, like, messed up. Her whole life was messed up in that book. But, like, she doesn't just write characters who are your average young adult characters.
Right,
which is,
yeah, she
changes
definitely,
things a lot.
Yeah, she definitely, her characters are all unique and different. She's not afraid to write them like that. And the dialogue fits the characters once the characters, the dialogue helps to transform the characters in her eyes so we can see exactly what kind of person or get a handle on what kind of person they are. But once you have a grip on that, then the dialogue all seems to work real well. Like, no, but nothing is out of character for, you know, once you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, you know, it doesn't just go off into left field somewhere. Everything comes together and makes real good sense. But I love the books, the two that I've read. And I will probably put Eleanor and Park in my Audible account at some point in time. Right now, I'm kind of on a sci-fi kick and whatever they happen to have on sale. But I just, you know, I really enjoyed the book, and it was so much that I was like, I need to do a podcast about this because I bet you there's a lot of guys out there that might look past this. But it's a good story. What it boils down to is it's a good story. You know, yeah, it has that little, and we're talking a very small amount of sci-fi, like, you know, that fangirl, fanboy kind of thing going on. But that is, that's like a thread throughout the story. It's like the common ground that they used to have, but it doesn't, it's not really about that. It's about the people. Now, the audiobook.
It's a good book. It is a good book for a break when you're all reading like science fiction stuff. It's a good break book when you just need a break from science fiction and you want something that's like fun. Like, there's not, it's not super.
It's fun, but it's very engaging. Serious. It's kind of hard to put down. Now, I will say with the audiobook, what I liked is any time they would do like Simon Snow quotes.
And they read it in a different voice.
And when they did it in the audiobook, it did it in a different voice. A whole completely different reader did it. And I really
liked that because
you knew where it was at and you tried to correlate that.
At first, it was throwing me off, though, and I was like, wait, what is happening? And then, actually it was a good way in because I'm not very smart that I realized what was happening.
Right. I think that they did a really good job with that. I really enjoyed that part of it. But anyway, so we wanted to talk about that. And it's going to be a short one. We're at about 20 minutes. We're going to end it right there. And, you know, we're going to be back. We're going to try to make time in our schedules to get to do a little bit more podcasting. And My co-host here has been delving into Doctor Who
and Harry Potter
and Harry Potter, which she hadn't read yet. So she's like three books in.
I don't know why. So yeah, I'm starting the third book right now. Then I'll watch the movies, and I'm on the third season of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But I get like sidetracked, and I'm like, I just don't watch it for a while. Then I watch like 10 episodes at once.
Yeah. Everybody does the binge watching. But I think the idea here is that if she can finish the Harry Potter books before
summer's over, we can watch all the movies and then do a super long podcast.
We're going to have a Harry Potter-a-thon where we're going to try to watch all the movies at one time. I mean, not at one time, but through the course of a couple of days, we'll sit down. Because, I mean, the movies are pretty long. I think they're all over 2 hours. And sit down and go through all of them in one sitting. And then she can make the comparison that I have between the books and stuff. But at any rate, we're going to wind this one up. So, you got anything else you got to say?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I'm Aaron.
I'm Rhiannon.
Over and out.